we were talking just when we began the program that there are options, and let's look at what's worked. And what we should do is to follow the lead of California, because this coming November, we will have an initiative on the ballot statewide, basically to treat marijuana like alcohol for adults. And I hope it passes. At the moment, it's leading. I'm going to ask anyone listening, if they're from California, to support this measure. And if you're not from California, you know people that can vote in California, communicate with them and ask them to support it. Because what would happen? Let's just walk down this road for a minute. If we in California were to treat marijuana like alcohol, what would be the result? And I have six results. The first five demonstrably beneficial, then we'll talk about the sixth. The first thing that has happened is that we as taxpayers in California alone will save literally hundreds of millions of dollars that now we are spending in a futile effort to eradicate marijuana, as well as prosecute and incarcerate nonviolent marijuana offenders. And like we said earlier, you can tell how successful we are in eradication of marijuana, because it's still the largest cash crop in our state. Number two, as the chair of the State Board of Equalization determined, we could generate about $1.3 billion every year in tax revenue by taxing the silly stuff. And then, of course, last time I looked, we have a budget deficit in California. This would change that budget deficit by at least $2 billion a year. You'd think someone would notice. But the third thing, those are nice side benefits, but not a reason to change our policy. But this one is, because we would make marijuana less available for children than it is today. And you can ask any kids in California, they're teenagers, and they'll tell you the same thing they'll tell me, that it's easier for them to get marijuana or any other illicit drug, if they want to, than it is alcohol. Why? Because the alcohol is regulated and controlled by the government, and the illegal drugs are controlled by illegal drug dealers, and they don't ask for ID. Number four, then we could, in effect, just turn around this whole medical marijuana dispute, which has basically been caused by people in the government who have not, even after 1996, when we passed Proposition 215 for medical marijuana, they still haven't put workable regulations into effect, because they just don't agree with the law for some reason. So we could simply turn that around and just really pretty much put that to rest. And number five, we could revitalize the hemp industry, which it goes back thousands of years. It's a viable industrial crop, and we could talk about that one for an hour, George, but let me just bring that to a close by saying that in ancient Greek, the word cannabis and canvas were the identical words. You can go back to the old Ironsides, the USS Constitution. Its sails were made from hemp. It's the stalk of the marijuana plant. It has no mind-altering propensities in it at all, but they have enormous numbers of usages, such that, for example, you can get four times the amount of paper pulp from an acre of hemp as you can an acre of trees. It takes 20 years to grow the trees and one season of about 8 or 9 months to grow the hemp. So those are five things that I think everyone would agree would be beneficial if, in fact, we were to pass this initiative and treat marijuana like alcohol. Then there's the sixth issue. And there, economics will tell you, just like it tells me, if you have the demand the same for adults with marijuana, but the price is reduced by about half, which, by the way, you'd have to do in order to drive the illegal dealers out of business, what's that going to do to demand? And the answer is the demand will increase, all things being equal, but soon we will start realizing that things will not be equal, and we'll start experiencing what I call the Holland effect. Because Holland decriminalized marijuana about four decades ago, and the Minister of Health of Holland held a press conference, and I cited my book, Why Our Drug Laws Have Failed, and he said, you know, anyone 16 years of age or older in Holland can go to a coffee house and can get coffee and tea and sandwiches and also marijuana and hashish. But we only have half the marijuana consumption per capita in our country as you do in yours, listen to this, both for adults and for teenagers. And then he went on to explain why. George, you know what he said? He said, we have succeeded in making pot boring. Now, there's a message there, because we glamorize it by making it illegal, and we also glamorize it by having an absolutely obscene profit motive for people to sell marijuana to you, your neighbors, and worst of all, to your children. And it's taken away. They only have half the marijuana usage in their country per capita as we do here, including for teenagers. So what's not to like? We should support this measure. It's going to change things enormously, and we're going to see that this is going to work a lot less harmfully than what we're doing today.
Characterize for me the experience with the marijuana dispensaries in California. The way it's been described to me is essentially it has legalized or de facto legalized marijuana. Anyone who wants a card can go and get one. They're cooperative doctors. If you've ever had a back pain or a toothache, they'll give you a card. So anybody can get it.
George, I think predominantly that's true, that you can find a place where you can get a marijuana card if you really want to, and then it will be furnished to you. Some, of course, dispensaries are just as integrity-laden as can be. I was taken on a tour, by the way, of a guy who was in charge of setting up the system in Oakland in California, and I was with him, and everybody knew him. He was the guy in charge, and they knew I was a judge, but they wouldn't let me into the dispensary even on this tour with him because I didn't have a card with me. And, of course, I applauded that. I thought that was just great. But others are much less integrity-laden, and I understand that there are people that will take advantage of a system. I mean, are you shocked? Some people do. But, yes, it's pretty well resulted in that. However, having said that, it has not increased marijuana usage. It just basically means that it's more regulated and then it's taxed. Now, the marijuana consumption statewide did not go up. It's just that the consumption through the medical marijuana dispensaries is up, but otherwise they just be buying it from the Mexican drug cartels.
All right, let's talk about other drugs, marijuana being one thing, but what about methamphetamine, which is a terrible, terrible destructive drug? It ruins lives. What do you do with that? Do you decriminalize, legalize, what?
Well, honestly, what we should do is begin with marijuana, and then we can see what the results are and go from there. But really, the answer in this whole area is the concept of federalism. Now, I know that kind of sounds like egghead talk, but our country was founded on that. We have, in effect, 50 crucibles of democracy in our country today, 50 different states. Allow each state to decide how best to support, defend, protect its people, and then by trial and error, we'll figure out what works. And if, you know, Illinois comes up with something that works pretty well, Indiana comes up with something that's well-intended but just doesn't work very well, what's Indiana going to do? Well, they're going to start looking around saying, well, you know, Charlie, this is a good idea, but it isn't working. Wait a minute. What's going on in Illinois? Let's try that. And so maybe we'll extend it to methamphetamines, maybe not. Maybe for some states it would be beneficial to do it one way or do the other because you have to understand, you know, this isn't easy, and there's no such thing as a perfect system. No one can design that. What we're trying to do is reduce the harms that can and will be caused because of the presence of these drugs in our society. Right now, we're going to great lengths to increase them. We've got to reduce them instead.
Is there are there mixed results from Denmark? You hear different kinds of reports out of Amsterdam that it has actually increased drug problems. Certainly, you've got druggies more obvious, more open in
you
public.
The problem in Amsterdam, and I have no resolution for this, the Minister of Health or the Chief of Police, they'll tell you, you know, we're a pretty small country. A full third of the people that use or abuse drugs in our country are foreigners, and we don't know what to do about it. You know, they'll come in from Germany or France or the United States to have a good time, etc. But the United States is so much larger. You know, we're not any concern particularly to have people come in from Mexico or Canada or anywhere else. It would just be a drop in the bucket. So we're not going to have those problems. But, yes, Amsterdam does have those problems because they're a fairly small country.
And heroin. You know, we talked briefly earlier about the English experience with heroin. There are people who can basically handle a maintenance dose of heroin and be productive people even though they're taking it, right?
They can and do. This program is enormously successful now in Switzerland. It began in the late 1990s. It's been adopted by the government. It's made permanent, that is, at least till through the year 2014, in every town and city in Switzerland. It's reduced crime. Why? Well, if people are even arrested if they're on the program, they're put off the program, which means that they, you know, they don't need to burglarize your car or your house anymore to get the drugs because they're much less expensive and they get them at pharmaceutical prices through the pharmacies.